Welcome back to the USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast. This is the June 25th, 2022 edition of the USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast. It's the original podcast covering USC Trojans college basketball team. For those of you who are listening not on our website, the podcast is available on such platforms as Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn, as well as at the USCHoops.com message board. For those of you who listen regularly, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a 5-star rating and a review on the platform of your choice. This is your co-host, Chase, as always, joined by Nick. Nick, how are you doing?
Doing well, Chase. A little bit of a different format this time, but lots to discuss with recruiting, so it's great to be back on.
Great. And as Nick said, this is a little bit different format. We're going to do a kind of special recruiting heavy podcast, and Nick is going to take the reins and he's going to introduce our special guest for the episode.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So we do have Zach on. For those of you who have been longtime listeners, you might remember Zach jumping on last year or around the same time. Been about a year, so we've been looking to get Zach back on, and we're really happy to have him. So welcome, Zach.
Howdy, guys. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking some basketball with y'all.
Yep, absolutely. So the focus on this one, as Chase mentioned, it will be recruiting. There was a big Section 7 tournament recently, which featured plenty of 2023 and 2024 recruits. Many coaches from across the country attended this event, and it was a great opportunity to see the talent and see who's developed substantially over the last several months. So what we're going to do is we'll just run through a list of prospects. I will throw it over to Zach to get his thoughts. I will chime in with my thoughts and give a little bit of context about their status with USC with regards to recruiting. So without further ado, Zach, we can start with Arrington Page. Have you seen any of Arrington Page?
Yeah, I have. Arrington Page, I think the thing that jumps out to me about Arrington Page off the bat is that he's got a big college-ready frame. He's ready to jump into a game. He's not going to look out of place. I like him as a lob threat. I like him as a roll option. He's 6'9", 6'10", I believe. So he's, you know, going to hop out there, be a good 5 or 4 for you. I have some questions about him offensively outside of being a lob threat, being a roll option, being able to work out of that dunker spot. I think defensively his frame's going to help him out, but I got some questions about him as a rim protector still, but early days, I think, on Arrington Page. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I think that's generally right. So to give a little context with him, he is the AAU teammate of Isaiah Collier, who's one of the top point guards in the country, who we will touch on as well shortly. Like you said, he's a center around 6'9", a little bit like undersized for the center position from a height standpoint, right? Like he's not like a 7-footer, but he does kind of make up for it with his like bulk and weight. Like he doesn't have like excess body fat per se. He's pretty strong, but like at 220, right? He can absorb contact, but might not have like the length, certainly not of like an Evan Mobley type or anything crazy like that, right? So, he's been rising in the rankings mostly because of his athleticism. Like so much of the tape out there on him is him just dunking lobs from Isaiah Collier. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to really get a feel for how advanced his skill set is. He has had a few times where he's gotten the ball on the perimeter and like drove like, in like a straight line drive and finished a layup. So he's got like a little bit of a feel there, but I kind of think that the like 50 to 100 ranking is pretty appropriate right now. Is that kind of your sense too, Zach?
Yeah, I think so. And on him being an undersized center, I think it's going to affect him more as he's looking to potentially go pro than it will in college. I think him being just like a big dude the way he is, he shouldn't have a problem being able to run the five in college. Maybe against some of the more elite centers in college basketball, your Chet Holmgrens and whatnot, and he'll struggle a little bit, but I mean, which college centers aren't going to struggle against those kinds of players?
Right.
I mean, you have guys like Evan Batty who are able to run at center at 6'7", 6'6". Yeah. So I think right. Arrington Page will absolutely be able to play that position despite being a little undersized. And I think I agree with you on his ranking. 5,100 seems appropriate since I just haven't seen any ball skills from him outside of being able to just catch lobs and run out of the pick and roll and that sort of thing, which will make him a useful player at any college in some capacity, but it's a matter of whether or not he's going to be somebody who's scoring, you know, 9-10 points a game for you, if he's going to be somebody who's really initiating offense and is a focal point of your team. I'm not 100% sure where Arrington Page lies on that. And I think part of that is, as you said, that he's just, all he's asked to do is just catch lobs and dunk.
Yeah.
So it's really tough to get a gauge on it.
Right. Yeah. And no, I totally agree. And I think with his recruitment too, so he was kind of a late bloomer. So like no one knew who he was like a year ago, and he's really kind of come onto the scene with, you know, playing with TSF over the last several months. So Indiana seems to be the main school that's recruiting only him. And then you have a set of schools, including USC, UCLA, and Cincinnati, which are kind of recruiting the Isaiah Collier, Arrington Page package. So we'll have to see what happens there. He has taken an official visit to USC with Isaiah Collier. I believe about a month ago. It was kind of kept under wraps, but they've both been on campus. I do not think he's been to UCLA, and I believe he has also been to Cincinnati. So I don't know if you can distinguish a leader between those three schools. I know a lot of the media do kind of think Isaiah Collier is going to go to Cincinnati because they have a pretty big AAU connection there. There's some coaching connection, but we're just going to have to see how it plays out. That is a good segue into Isaiah Collier. So we can talk about him now. He is the AAU teammate of Arrington Page, as mentioned, a point guard who has steadily risen in the rankings and is now a top 10 prospect. So Zach, I'll throw it over to you on Isaiah Collier.
Yeah, I sort of have mixed thoughts on Isaiah Collier. I think he's pretty clearly the best passer in this class by a substantial margin. He does a really good job of creating passes at a really high level that you don't see from teenage point guards very often. You know, he's not just hitting pick and roll lobs. He's hitting, you know, he's manipulating the defense to create passes. He's passing out of transition. I think that's really important for a college point guard. But
yeah,
I think his jump shot has a long ways to go. It looks a little rusty. I'm not sure what the numbers are on that, as it is always difficult to find college basketball shooting numbers, but
yeah,
or high school basketball shooting numbers, excuse me. But his jump shot definitely looks a little rusty, and I know he didn't shoot it well his first couple of years in high school. Doesn't really jump off the page as like a high-level athlete to me, but his handle really makes up for that a little bit in terms of being able to get by guys. He's really able to break guys down with crossovers and use his handle to get by guys and create and attack angles. I don't know if I would say he's a top 10 player in this class. I don't know if that's a little harsh, but for me, I think that's a little high. But I don't think he's, you know, wildly overrated either, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I think he's probably around, probably, I think he's ranked pretty appropriately here. So you mentioned the jump shot. That was his kind of major weakness in prior seasons with AAU. His percentages have gone up a lot, and he did average, he was one of the league, the AAU leaders in scoring. So he's been able to score, and really his percentages, his shooting percentages have been much better than Kanan Carlisle, who's his AAU teammate, who doesn't have the passing regimen that he does. I think the athleticism point that you touched on is also interesting because he's a good athlete, but he's not one of those jump out of the gym athletes, right? Like a De'Aaron Fox or some of these other elite league guards. So I do kind of question like how that translates to the NBA when you think of an NBA league guard, if he doesn't have a total knockdown jump shot like a Trae Young or a Steph Curry, right? And he doesn't have like the elite athleticism that you see with De'Aaron Fox and some of these other lead guards. So I've got some questions there. I do think he has a pretty college ready game though. Like physically he's ready. He's, you know, he's not small. He doesn't need to put on a ton of weight. The passing is already really, really strong. So I think he'll be able to impact a college team right away and be a starting guard for sure. there was one interesting take from Twitter that I saw. So Mike Gribanoff, who is an NBA draft guy on Twitter, was throwing Collier into the number one overall pick conversation with like Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama. I would not go there at all, but I do think it's kind of notable that like you do have some analysts who think he's like in that elite tier and could be a top five pick in next year's draft. So that was pretty interesting to me as well. And I don't even know how that would work too, because Collier I think is a year behind those guys. So he's not eligible for next year's draft, but maybe he thought Scoot had like another year in the G League or something. But regardless, he is pretty highly regarded. But I do share your concerns about, you know, the athleticism to a certain extent and even like the jump shot mechanics, because it's just not as clean of a projection as Robert Dillingham, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's where my concern lies in the jump shot. I will say, I meant to mention this the first time around, his free throw numbers have been pretty good consistently throughout his high school career, Isaiah Collier. So that's always a good shooting indicator moving forward.
Yeah.
But his jump shot does look like it's going to need some fine tuning to be able to hit maybe at the NBA level. I'm not sure if that'll matter in college for a guy like Isaiah Collier, but it could, you never know. On the point of him being a number one over Wanyama and Scoot Henderson, I definitely would not go that far. Yeah. I think those two dudes are pretty far and away from the rest of their competition right now. And like you said, I think Isaiah Collier is a 2024 product for draft wise, right. But I think there's certainly a chance he can definitely go pro, especially if he can shoot consistently. Athletically, I think his first step has always been pretty good to me, which is, I think, is why he's able to score at a pretty reasonable level in college. And I think that should be able to translate well as he progresses up the ranks. But I guess in the NBA, that would be a concern, because how good is your first step to be able to blow by guys like De'Aaron Fox and players who are, you know, really quick.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And then with his recruitment, we kind of discussed that. Yeah, go ahead, Chase.
Nick, do you think that that Collier and Page will end up being a package deal or not?
I think I would say yes at this point. I don't think it's a done deal, but things definitely seem to be trending that way. And with Collier, with the recruitment, he has taken visits to Cincinnati, USC, and UCLA. He's discussed taking a visit maybe to Michigan. It doesn't seem like he's in that big of a hurry to decide. So I think these schools are kind of, you know, trying to get a feel for his decision timeline, but he definitely seems somewhat open and this thing could go into the fall. Moving on to our next prospect, we can do Andrei Stojakovic. So, Zach, have you seen any of Paige's son?
I absolutely love Andrei Stojakovic. I think he's really, really, really good. I think he's a little underrated right now. He's just an absolutely deadly shooter, and he's not just a catch-and-shoot guy. He's creating shots off the dribble with some pretty nice, like, handles. You know, he's hitting step-backs. He's hitting fadeaways in the post. He's certainly not someone who's going to blow by you athletically, but for being as tall as he has a really nice handle, and he's able to use that to create offense for himself. It's mostly jump shots right now, but that's definitely not a bad thing by any means. And for being not a particularly great and quick athlete, he's also pretty good in transition. Again, I think that's because he's able to just use his dribble and get by guys, and he's got great touch around the rim. Defensively, he's going to struggle. I think that's fair to say. He does have long arms, and he's a pretty big dude, so it may not be, you know, terrible out the gate, but I definitely think he's going to have some struggles initially out of once he starts playing at the college level. But I think Andrei Stojakovic is a really, really good player, and I think whoever gets him is going to be very happy when he scores a lot of points for him. What about you, Nick? Where are you at with that?
Yeah. So I agree. I think he's really good. So as you mentioned, he's kind of a bigger wing. So 6'6", like maybe 6'7", kind of has the knockdown shooting capability of Peja. He can pass. And the question with him is defensively, and how much maybe if he grows, right? Like let's say he grows to 6'9" and fine tunes his ball handling. Like, do you see him as like a lead ball handler potentially at some point? I think, you know, there's a lot of intrigue there when you try to scale his game up to higher levels. But I do think, like, you know, he needs to get stronger. And, you know, the foot speed is like a little bit of a question, right? And I think the competition level is like a little bit of a question too. He plays at that Carmichael school, which is
right
the same school that Issa Silva went to, and Issa Silva hasn't really scaled to college that well yet. So I think the jury's still out a little bit there. It does seem like he's probably going to go to UCLA. So he took a visit to UCLA within the last couple of weeks, did visit Stanford, I think a month back. So that's a really interesting fit with Cronin too, because Cronin's known as like the hard ass defensive coach, right? And Stojakovic isn't really that. Like, I know Cronin has kind of, it's interesting because that's his MO, but he's built his offense around shot makers with Ju Zhang and Hawkes and Tiger Campbell to an extent and Jules Bernard. He's had a bunch of these, like, you know, slower footed guys who can really make shots and just not turn the ball over. So Stojakovic is kind of that. So we'll see if he does end up going to UCLA, can Mick Cronin get the defense out of him and just give him the flexibility to do his thing on offense, I think will be really interesting there.
Yeah, I think I just buy him panning out. I think, like you said, the competition level is a bit of concern, but with jump shooting, I think I'm less concerned about that, being that his best skill is jump shooting and shooting the ball. I just think that that's going to scale kind of regardless of the bad competition currently, or not bad competition. I shouldn't say that, but he's not playing at the highest level of AAU circuits right now.
Right.
But he's, I buy him panning out. I think he's going to be a really good player. And I would be really surprised if he just goes to UCLA and doesn't get minutes under Cronin, because he's just a guy who I buy panning out.
Yeah. Yeah, and with the AAU stuff, he does play for Compton Magic.
Right,
so he has played. Yep. So he does, you know, he has done well for Compton Magic, although, like, his numbers do obviously make a big spike when he goes from his AAU to his high school team, where he just has the ball in his hands all the time, right? And he can just score 30 a game pretty easily. So, yeah, I think we're both pretty high on him. Zach, do you see him as a potential first round pick at some point, or do you think he's more of a college star without pro potential?
He absolutely could be a first round pick at some point. I mean, NBA teams are on the hunt for tall wings who can shoot and dribble, and that is what Andre Stojakovic is. So if he scales his game up to college, I think he's could be a lottery pick potentially. I think defense will always be a bit of a concern, and NBA teams are always a bit worried about that, but
yeah.
I mean, big wings who can shoot are the thing to have in the NBA right now. So if he pans out even a little bit in college, I think he might be one and done, honestly.
Yeah. I wouldn't be totally shocked by that, especially if he grows like an inch or two.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So moving along, let's talk about AJ Johnson. Zach, really intriguing name. Have you seen any of AJ?
Yeah, AJ Johnson is just an absolute dynamite scorer, isn't he? He just complete three-level scorer right now. He can shoot the three, he can drive. He's got a decent mid-range game. He's super athletic and explosive. But to pair that with a nice jump shot, I mean, players like that are kind of tough to come by. Him being kind of like in the 40s on 24/7 is crazy to me, considering just how dynamic he is as a scorer. He is a bit undersized, I guess, height wise to be a two, and he's not a great passer, so I guess that's kind of a concern. He's a bit of a combo guard right now, but I just buy AJ Johnson figuring that out. Like, he's just such a good scorer that you have to imagine that he's going to put the pieces together and, you know, make decent enough passing reads to play the one. And then he's a little skinny. I think he's only 148 pounds the weight I saw when I looked that up most recently. I think he has bulked up a little bit since I saw that number, but he's going to struggle defensively in college and wherever he ends up playing. But he's just so good on offense. The 40 seems pretty ridiculous to me. I don't know where you are with that, Nick, but that's kind of where I stand.
Yeah. So to give a little bit of a bigger picture on AJ Johnson, he's a Taft High School guy. He is the half brother, I believe, of Jalen Green. And if you watch their games, like, you can totally see it, right? Like, just, yeah. You know, he can jump out of the gym. The shot mechanics are good and the percentages are improving. I believe he shot over 40% recently at one of these AAU tournaments. So, like, it's definitely a projectable shot. He looks like he's 12 years old. I mean, he's got, like, the yeah. baby face, right? Very underdeveloped physically. He actually is 6'5", so he's undersized a little bit for
a really wing spot. 6'5"?
That's what he's listed wow. as, yeah. So,
dang, he does not look 6'5".
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's I've seen 6'5". I think he was like 6'3", so he has grown like a little bit recently in the last year, which kind of makes sense given his just general like underdeveloped profile. But he's got plenty of size for lead guard. Like if he was like a 2 or 3, like, you know, he could not guard like 3s right now because he's just too small from a yeah. weight standpoint. But as a lead guard, he's got the height. He's got the shooting. His first step is ridiculous. Like, he can go by anybody. If you're like looking for comps, it's really a Jalen Green starter package, right? When you think of AJ Johnson, right? That's which makes sense given that it's his brother. And I think he could absolutely be a lottery pick, one and done player. On three, rated him top 10. I believe he's up to 7 in the country on three. So these other services are kind of behind on him and catching up, but I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't end up being a one and done, just given how dynamite he is on offense from an athleticism standpoint. He can handle the ball, he can shoot. And I think, as you said, the question with him is, you know, the passing, right? Like, is he a true lead guard or is he just more of a scorer that can make the occasional like simple read out of pick and roll, right? So
yeah,
we'll have to see there, but I think he's a pretty obvious take for any program in the country. His recruitment has heated up recently because, you know, he's just been consistently on the rise. So I believe he's taking an unofficial visit to Texas in the near future. Kansas is getting involved here. I know ASU was pretty heavily involved, but it kind of seems unlikely that they'll get him, just given that their program's not really trending upward right now. USC is involved. UCLA is not involved. The other kind of blue bloods, Duke and Kentucky, don't seem to be involved here. Kentucky, like, I wouldn't rule them out of getting involved per se, but Duke seems pretty full with Caleb Foster and Jared McCain, so I don't think they're going to be a factor. So we're going to have to see. I mean, he's definitely an NIL candidate, given how good he is. I wouldn't rule him out for USC, but I wouldn't necessarily say that like USC is the lead school or anything like that either. But yeah, I think we're both pretty high on AJ Johnson. Okay.
He's going to score a lot of points in college. I think that's what he's going to yeah. do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, is there a scenario where he doesn't average like at least 13 a game as his freshman year? Like, I don't see that really right. happening. Right. So anyway, next up, we'll throw out a name that's pretty, you know, pretty popular with USC fans, Isaiah Miranda. He is a center from the East Coast who recently transferred to SoCal Academy. So, Zach, what are your thoughts on Isaiah Miranda?
Isaiah Miranda is definitely one of these guys who's kind of in the mold of these big NBA centers who are kind of coming out. And kind of reminds me of Chet Holmgren a little bit. And he's just got freakishly long arms and he's mm-hmm. pretty athletic and he's going to block an absurd amount of shots because of that. He's also got a nice jump shot already, which you don't see for a lot of kids who are 7'1", 7'1", whatever Isaiah Miranda is. And I think that's going to project to college, maybe not from three, but definitely 16, 18 feet. I think he's going to be able to hit that pretty consistently. He operates pretty well as a roll man lob threat, but I think he's probably my favorite center in the class. He's just going to be crazy on defense, and he's pretty built for being 7'1". He's not Chet Holmgren skinny, which I think is important defensively. And Chet Holmgren was outstanding in college. It didn't even matter for him. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I totally second that. Like, he's a legit 7-footer. Like, when he's listed as like 7'1" from some, you know, sources or whatever, that means he's not like 6'10", right? Like, he's a legit like 7-foot guy, very tall. You look at photos of him, like, he's definitely like a legit 7-footer there. And no, I agree with you. I think he can actually shoot pick and pop threes at a pretty high rate. He's got a little bit of a low release, but when you're 7 foot, like, that's really hard to block anyway. So no, I think he can drag opponents away from the basket. We'll see, like, if he has the dribble drive game to go with, like, you know, the pick and pop shooting, or if he's just a straight pick and pop. And if it's not there on the pick and pop, just reverse the ball and set a ball screen. Like, that might just be his destiny in college. With the defense, I think, like, he definitely can defend the rim. He's shown the ability to weak side rim protect as a help defender. I think the thing with him that's a question is, how mobile is he? Like, I think he's pretty clearly, like, somewhat mobile. Like, I don't think he's, you know, a Chet level defender in space or anything like that. Or, like, he's nowhere close to, like, Evan Mobley in space. But can he be like, you know, Onyeka Okongwu good in space where he's not a liability? I think he could, maybe. So yeah, I agree. I think he's even got like somewhat of a post game. Like, I don't think he's super soft. I think he's kind of soft, but I don't think he's gonna just not be a post factor at all. Like, I think you could probably throw it down there to him and he would do okay in a scoring situation. Unlike, you know, Devin Williams, who we'll discuss as well coming up. But, like, I think you could get away with Miranda being your center on offense, and you could have a pretty good offense. With his recruitment, so we'll talk about that too. He has taken an official to USC. He is transferring out to LA for his senior year of high school. UCLA recently offered him. I don't think they're getting much traction. Unlike some blogs would lead you to believe. I don't expect them to be a big factor here. He did also take an official to Georgetown recently and talked about Patrick Ewing and his, you know, being a bit, you know, a legendary NBA big, and how it'd be cool to be mentored by him. I don't really think he's going to go to Georgetown. I know UConn's been mentioned here and there with him. I don't think that's going to happen either. So I think it's looking very good for USC in this recruitment, and we'll just have to see if he drags it into the fall or if he shuts it down by the end of the summer. Okay, on to our next name. So let's talk about Devin Williams. I think that's kind of a good segue into Devin. Devin is a center, I would say, like, power forward, maybe center, about 6'9", 6'10", from Corona Centennial. Recently switched AAU teams to the Compton Magic. So Zach, give me your breakdown of Devin.
He is a pretty big dude, Devin Williams. I admittedly have not seen a ton of Devin Williams, so I might let you take the reins here, but I'll get my thoughts off the table first. I think he's long arm. I think he should block some shots. Seems like a pretty good athlete from the tape I've seen. I think he's a little raw offensively, but a lot of guys are at this level, but should be able to operate as like a dunker spot threat and a bit of a post up threat right away. I'll let you take it from there. I'm a little raw on where Devin Williams is right now.
Yeah. So he's another riser. So he's in the top 100 of most rankings now. The most aggressive site with him was On3, which recently bumped him into the top 40, which I do think is a little bit aggressive, but I think it's, you know, you can see why they did it with kind of the potential there. He is very thin, right? Like, he gets pushed around a lot. I don't think he's soft. He's just really skinny and needs to continue adding weight. I do think he is very, like, mobile and athletic in space. Like, he can guard wings and definitely get away with it, even though he's a five, because he has really quick feet. And he's got pretty good timing and anticipation as a shot blocker. So I think there's a lot of defensive upside there. Thing is, just with the offense, right, if you dump it down to him in the post, like, I think you would just get pushed off the spot and not even, like, you know, be efficient with the jump hook game right now. And he kind of plays a little bit on the perimeter sometimes, and he can hit an open three, but I do think he's the kind of shooter too, where if you put some pressure on him, like, I don't know if he could handle even a semi-contested three. So got to continue to develop the jump shot, but there is some intrigue there, I think, with the defensive versatility. And, you know, you combine the fact that he's a local kid, he's Compton Magic. I think, you know, he's a decent bet as a scholarship guy where, you know, he becomes one of the better players in the Pac-12 as an upperclassman. So that's kind of the breakdown of Devin. Recruitment wise, UCLA offered him within the last month, I believe. He named a final five recently of Texas Tech, Arizona, USC, UNLV, and UCLA. The common thought there is he's probably going to stay in LA, go to USC or UCLA. He has taken an official visit to USC. He is not to UCLA. So we'll have to see if they do schedule one with him and get him on campus. But he definitely seems to be a legitimate option for USC at this point. So, okay, moving along, let's talk about a 2024 guy. So, Zach, I'll turn it over to you on Zoom Diallo. He recently was a standout at the Section 7 and has been generating a lot of buzz recently. So, what do you think about Zoom?
Yeah, Zoom Diallo, the thing that jumps out to me right away about his game is that he just loves to break down his defender from the point of attack and uses dribble to get by guys. He does that. That's like the primary way he gets offense is pulls it out, a couple dribble moves, gets by his guy. For a guy named Zoom, he doesn't jump off the screen to you as like a super explosive athlete, but he's not a terrible athlete either. He's got really nice touch around the rim. I think he starts and stops really well, so he's got a good first jump, and then he decelerates really well around the rim as well. I think passing, he's improved from what I've seen from the last time I watched tape and then most recently. So I like that he's seeing that and improving. And then I have some questions about him as a jump shooter. But yeah, I think it's kind of where I stand on Zoom at the moment.
So what do you think about him in the context of, like, I don't know how many 2024 point guards you've seen or 2023 point guards you've seen. Do you view him as like a potential top 30 guy? Is he more of a top 50 guy in your mind? Any kind of general thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of hard to say, especially with 2024, as I'm not super dived into that class yet. But just, I think with how he plays, like top 50-ish, I think would be fair. Top 30, maybe borderline top 30. Guys who are super reliant on blow-by dribble attacking in high school, I think I have concerns about how they get offense in college, because you're not going to be able to do that against elite ball defenders at the college level. I don't think he's going to be able to do that against your top tier defenses in college. So I wonder how he gets offense moving forward. I think that's a pretty major concern for me about his game.
Yeah. Yeah. He has recently had like a lot of blue blood schools jump in on him. So Duke, I think, is monitoring him. They have not offered. Arizona has offered. UCLA has offered. USC, I know, has reached out, but, you know, again, given like UCLA and Arizona's presence there, it's hard to see him being a legit option coming from the Washington area. I could also see Gonzaga getting involved there, given that he's from Seattle and they kind of have a local advantage recruiting some of those kids. I'm sure Mike Hopkins will try to get involved. I'm not sure how successful he'll be there, but definitely a good player and someone to keep your eye on. The other point guard that really jumped out at the Section 7 that also garnered Arizona and UCLA offers was Deedon Thomas from the Las Vegas area. Have you seen any of Deedon, Zach?
Yeah. Deedon Thomas, I think he is another dude. I think he accelerates and decelerates really, really well. That's like, I think, his big calling card. He's an uncrafty lefty guy. Those guys are always fun to watch at the very minimum. He always weevils around the paint and kind of snakes his way around to find baskets, which is a really interesting way to get offense these days. He's kind of got a bit of a loose handle for a guard, but that's not something I think is a major concern. He just looks super small when you watch, which is going to be a problem across the board for him. I think if he puts on some weight, that would help, but he really just comes off as like a guy who needs to get either taller or bigger, or he needs to become a college level athlete, I think is the best way to put that. But he also has a nice touch around the rim and nice touch around mid range. I think he'll be a decent offensive engine potentially just from his touch and his ability to kind of accelerate and decelerate. I think that's a good starting base for him right now, and he can kind of build off that.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's definitely undersized. He's kind of in the 5'11", 6 feet range, which makes him, like extremely undersized for the NBA level, but in college you can kind of make it work if you're, really good and lights out in other aspects of the game. And I think he has a chance to be that. So like the lack of size, it's kind of a negative for his pro projection, but in a way it's somewhat like positive for his college projection, because it means you probably get him for 4 years. So if you do get him and he hits, you could have like a Jordan McLaughlin type figure, right? Where you have an undersized guy who stays 4 years, becomes a really good leader and becomes a very good college player as an upperclassman. You could say it's the same thing about like McKinley Wright at Colorado, right? Like undersized guy, great 4 year program guy that really elevates your program. So I think he's kind of intriguing from that sense. Like, if you can get Zoom for 2 years or Deaton for four, like I think you take Deaton for four, even if Zoom might have the more immediate impact and translatable pro skill set. So
I agree on that. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So just something to keep in mind. I do know that USC is monitoring him, and we'll see if they become a serious player there. The next name I've got is another 2024 guy who's really blown up recently. Arizona offered him pretty early on. I think he's one of their only offers right now in 2024, along with the aforementioned guys. UCLA also recently offered him, and that's Carter Bryant. So, Zach, have you seen any of Carter?
Yeah, Carter Bryant's another guy I'm not super well versed on, so I may let you take the reins there again. But from what I've seen, he's big, bulky, kind of 6'8" forward, kind of plays small forward, power forward, doesn't jump off the screen, is a very explosive athlete and kind of slow-footed almost. I think he's got a nice looking jump shot at this stage, and I think defensively is kind of where he might make his bread a little bit. Big forward, big arms. I think that's kind of an intriguing perspective on him, but I'll let you kind of lead the discussion there.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a wing. He doesn't play for one of the major high schools. He's Fountain Valley. I believe he's there because his father is the head coach, but he's definitely like not small. Like he's very physically developed for a wing. I think as you mentioned, he's kind of in the 6'7" or so, 6'7", 6'8" range. He can shoot. Like, I think he's pretty skilled. I don't know if he's like the kind of guy who's going to blow by you off the dribble from the wing spot. Like, he might have to rely more on his strength and kind of physical development there. But Arizona does seem to be targeting him very heavily, and I think they might be the lead school right now. We'll see if USC and UCLA can kind of change the momentum there with him. But again, like another, top guy. He's ranked in the top 30 of the 24/7 rankings for 2024. But I think it's pretty likely right now that he stays on the West Coast. The next name that we can talk about is Isaiah Elohim, Zach. So have you seen any of Isaiah?
Yeah, Isaiah Elohim. I like Isaiah Elohim. I thought he played really well for Sierra Canyon this year. I think he's got really good size for the position. He's kind of like a bulky 6'4" point guard. I think defensively is what really popped for me watching him play at Sierra Canyon. I think he gets after it. He jumps passing lanes really well. He is able to defend on ball with being kind of quick and big. He's able to be a good point of attack defender. I think he attacks the rim pretty well offensively. He's got nice touch there, and he definitely prefers to finish kind of with a nice power finish dunk. I think he's really good in transition offensively, both passing and scoring, but I think half court passing might be an area of improvement for him. Shooting wise, I think there's room for improvement, but he also is a dude who shot 80-ish% from the free throw line over the last couple of years. So I think that's going to translate upwards, as his career goes on.
Yeah, so he's a really highly ranked kid. So he started his career at Heritage Christian, and as you mentioned, is now at Sierra Canyon. He's ranked fourth in the class of 2024, which might seem a bit aggressive, but I don't think that that class has like a ton of star power at the top. So given that, I think it kind of makes sense. You mentioned the transition game. I wholeheartedly agree. Like he has the ball at half court, he's probably scoring. He kind of reminds me a little bit of like Josh Green from Arizona, like just really, really good athlete. Not a great 3-point shooter. I think he's more developed in the mid range. Like he's a pretty efficient mid range scorer, where Josh Green was kind of a, you know, non-threat from the mid range. He was more of a, you know, wide open three, or, you know, attack the rim and shoot a floater or a layup sort of guy. That's kind of how I see him, is like maybe a rich man's Josh Green. So,
yeah. And I think Josh Green's jump shot was always a bit broken too. So I kind of buy his jump shot translating a little bit better than Josh Green's did. Josh Green wasn't even that bad a shooter in college, honestly. His numbers were pretty decent, even though they may have been a little bit fraudulent. But I think I just buy that jump shot hitting eventually. He's got a couple years to figure it out, right? This is another 2024 kid. So
yeah,
I think I just kind of buy the mechanics there a little bit more than Josh Green or some of these other guys who kind of have decent numbers, but rusty mechanics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of his recruitment, USC and UCLA are kind of out in front right now, it seems like. So I would watch those two schools. Like I'm sure Kentucky, I think, reached out recently. So we'll see if Kentucky or Duke can make a play for him and pick him off the West Coast. But I would peg him as a West Coast kid for 2024 and probably the West Coast prize right now in the 2024 class. So definitely a big name to keep an eye on. We'll move to probably the guy with the best name in high school basketball, which is Victorious Miller, who recently transferred to Hillcrest Prep. So Zach, have you seen Victorious?
Yeah, I think it's also important that it's Victorious with a Y, which really adds to the excellent name there. I think Victorious Miller is pretty good. He's got a pretty well-rounded game for somebody who's a 2024 kid. He's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, sort of the way I kind of like to see him. He reads angles and he reads the game pretty well. He's a solid passer and he's got good height for his position, I think. And he's kind of a big enough dude where he's not going to be bodied in college either. He kind of comes off as a bit slow, but I think he's able to attack angles pretty well and use his dribble to create offense well enough. Defensively, some question marks, I guess, but I think his frame is going to translate upwards as he kind of keeps going up the ranks, and I sort of buy that working out long term. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I like him a lot. Now, I may have said Hillcrest Prep. He's at Compass Prep right now, so he's in the Phoenix area. He was in LA last year. He's an LA guy, but he's now out at Compass, kind of doing the Dylan Andrews thing and the Kylan Boswell thing. So I think he's a really good shooter. So I think the shot's there. It's a very projectable shot. Might be the best shooter I've seen in the 2024 class, up there with like Trey Johnson and some of the elite national guys. But yeah, I like him a lot. I think there's also a little bit of a USC tie there, Zach. So I don't know if you know, but Victorious is the nephew of Master P.
I did not know that.
He is. Yep. So he's the nephew of Master P and the cousin of Lil Romeo, who played at USC for, I think, a year when he was a package deal with DeMar DeRozan back in the 2008-2009 time frame. So there's like a little bit of a USC tie there with Victorious. The other fun thing about Victorious is that his cousin's also in the class. So his cousin is Mercy Miller, who just transferred from out east to Sherman Oaks Notre Dame High and is committed to Houston to play for Kelvin Sampson. And he's a top 40 recruit. So you got Victorious and Mercy, you got the rapper ties. I mean, you know, you gotta love all the mystique around Victorious. So, definitely a fun player. We'll move on to another 2024 guy. Zach, have you seen any Jamari Phillips? I know I threw that name at you pretty late when we were forming our list. So I don't know if you've had any chance to check him out.
I had seen a little bit of Jamari Phillips previously, so I was able to contribute here. He is a guy who loves to score the basketball. I think to put it best, he's a pretty good shooter, especially for 2024. I think he leaks out in transition pretty well, but he also is so much of an offensive guy that he's like kind of cherry picking a little bit, which is definitely not something I love from high school basketball players. But
yeah,
he actually does leak out in transition well. In addition to that, like, he reads that well and is able to get out quicker than everybody else. I think he turns the corner pretty well. Offensively, and I think his shot selection also leaves quite a bit to be desired. Hopefully that can be coached out of him as he kind of comes up the ranks and he's not the guy on his team where he's just allowed to shoot 30 times a game from wherever he wants. But players like that where they're just shooting everywhere, no matter how they're guarded, I think always a bit of a concern for me, just how they read the game, I guess.
Yes, so I think the question with him is he like a lead guard or is he a combo guard, right? Because he kind of plays like a combo guard, so he's going to have to become more of a facilitator, I think, if he wants to be a primary ball handler. And if he has that in his game, I think he's got all the tools, right? Because he's pretty athletic. He's got a pretty projectable jump shot, right? It's just a matter of turning that projectable jump shot into more of a functional jump shot that can, really where you can really spike your percentages into the 40% range in college. So that's kind of my thing with him is like just kind of continuing to develop his basketball IQ and turn the tools into more like production and efficiency. But I do think he's got the tools to make that happen. With his recruitment, I think it's pretty early, but I think he is a top target of UCLA. I'd probably put them as the lead school right now. Kentucky is involved, so we'll see if they can pick him off the West Coast, but he is a top 20 kid, not really ranked in the like Isaiah Elohim tier or even the Victorious Miller tier. Victorious, for context, is ranked in the top 10, kind of like back end of the top 10. But still, very, very highly touted. So we will track how that develops. Let's see. Did we hit all these names? Let's see. Oh, one more guy who has blown up that would be good to touch on is Cody Williams. So Zach, have you seen any of Cody?
I'll let you take the reins there, Nick.
Yeah, sure. So Cody Williams is the brother of Jalen Williams, who just went in the lottery of the NBA draft the other night. He's from Arizona. Arizona did recently offer, they might be tough to beat. UCLA recently offered. USC offered him a while ago. He has jumped up a lot in the rankings and is now in the top 30 for the class of 2023. 6'7", really long arms, potential to be a monster defender, supposedly a really good kid, potential to shoot, but I think that's kind of the swing skill with him is the shooting. If the shooting, comes around, I think he could be a lottery pick and one and done type of player. If not, you might be looking at more of like a Dalen Terry type trajectory where he stays like 2 to 3 years and then probably heads the NBA. He is a year young for his class, so you do have to love that. And his brother was kind of a late bloomer at Santa Clara and turned himself into a lottery pick. So you have to kind of like love that growth trajectory as well. So high on him.
Yeah, just to add my two cents, which is granted pretty minimal as I've only kind of caught some of the Ball Is Life mixtapes of Cody Williams.
Yeah.
I really like the ball skills for him, I think is the one thing that stood out to me watching some limited tape there. For somebody who's kind of big and has long arms like that, he really has pretty nice ball skills, both in transition and in the half court. I think that was sort of the major thing that stood out to me there. And then defensively as well. I mean, he's got such long arms like that is going to be, even if he's not amazing defensively right away, that's going to help him out to be a positive defender just by accident almost.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to do a little bit of a big picture take on USC recruiting for these two classes and how it's shaping up. So I think the thing with college basketball is the key is you need to just continue to stockpile talent, and some of them will leave and some of them will become really good multi-year guys. But if you're continuing to churn out top 50 players, then you're probably doing something right. So if we look at kind of the broad picture of USC recruiting historically, just going class by class over the last really several years of the Andy Enfield era, you look at 2016, where they got Jonah Matthews and D'Anthony Melton were the marquee guys, and neither were top 50. D'Anthony ended up becoming a pro and actually just got traded a few days ago. Jonah is overseas, but was a really good four-year guy. Neither of those dudes were top 50. So they were still kind of in the stage of the program where they weren't pulling top 50 guys, even though they did hit on Jordan McLaughlin and Benny Boatwright and Chimezie Metu. You fast forward to 2017, they got Chuck O'Bannon, Jordan Usher, and Victor Uyelumo. Chuck was top 50, kind of back into the top 50, and Jordan Usher was 104, Victor was 216. Obviously, all those guys transferred, but you're still not seeing the consistent top 50 pulls. Let's go to 2018. You got Kevin Porter, Elijah Weaver, Jerron Brooks. Kevin Porter, obviously a one and done, spoken about kind of the lack of a cultural fit in the program there, but Kevin, you know, made a lot of money and good for him. And then Elijah Weaver didn't really work out at USC, and same with Jerron Brooks. So they still really hadn't found their ground recruiting yet in terms of the consistent top 50, getting those multi-year kids in the program that impact winning really as upperclassmen. You look at 2019, and that was a pretty good class. So you got Max Agbonpolo for several years. He did transfer, but he was a positive player for your program last year. You got Big O. He was a one and done, obviously was great in his lone year. And then you got Isaiah Mobley, who is an NBA guy now. You got him for 3 years. Obviously a positive player with your program. Then in 2020, they got Evan Mobley and Boubacar Coulibaly, who has transferred. And they did do really well with transfers that year. So they didn't get those high level multi-year guys who are, you know, top 50 recruits. They obviously got Evan, who was a one and done, but you can't really get the longevity out of the one and dones. They're great to have, but if he's the only guy like in your class, it gets kind of tough, right? They were able to supplement it with transfers that year. They got Taj Eady. They got Chavez Goodwin. They got Isaiah White. They got Drew Peterson all that year. So they just loaded up on transfers. So it was definitely a really good class, but they still kind of lacked the elite impact guys that were multi-year, and certainly the elite impact guys outside of Evan. 2021, they got Reese Dixon-Waters, who definitely fits the mold of a very strong multi-year player. They got Kobe Johnson, who has shown flashes, especially on the defensive end and with some of his passing. Those are probably the program guys that you're looking at in that class. Early returns weren't so great on Malik Thomas, who didn't play a lot last year. And Harrison Hornery had his moments in one of their non-conference games, but hasn't really shown the ability to defend at a Pac-12 level. They did supplement that with the transfer market and got Boogie Ellis, who was a pretty good player for them. But again, like, none of these guys were ranked top 50. And other than Reese Dixon-Waters, I'm not sure you're looking at, you know, an elite potential all Pac-12 player. Now, with the 2022 class, this is where they're really starting to turn the corner to me, it seems like, because they got the Compton Magic thing with the Mobley brothers, with Big O, a big talent infusion there. But outside of that, they haven't really been able to sustain that momentum until the 2022 class, where they're starting to rack up these top 50 players, right? So you look at Vince Iwuchukwu, who's a top 25 to 30 kid. You look at Kijani Wright, who's a top 50 kid. You look at Trey White, who's a top 50 kid, right? All these guys, these are the kind of guys that they're not quite good enough to be one and dones, but they're elite enough. They're talented enough where they can be really dynamite second, third, fourth year players that can help you win at a high level. So how I look at recruiting is what you really have to do is you just have to stack as many of these top 50 guys as possible. And some of them will be one and dones, and that's okay. But a good amount of them will stay, you know, multiple years. And it definitely seems like USC is starting to do that in the 2022 class and potentially in 2023 and 2024. So Zach, obviously I went on a long little rant there, but what do you think of kind of that philosophy of just stacking top 50 recruiting class, top 50 players, and then just, you know, some leaving and some staying and helping your program?
Yeah. I mean, you just want as many swings as you can possibly get, right? Like things happen in basketball, you know, you think a kid is going to be awesome. And then it turns out for whatever reason, it doesn't pan out. You just want as many takes as having these really talented players as possible. And you don't want to throw away a roster spot on somebody because you, who might be a worse player because you maybe think they're going to be a better fit 2 years down the line. I don't think that's the best way to go about recruiting when there's so many variables in a high school player transitioning to college. You know, there's so much outside of talent that, that makes a player good in college. You know, it's a mindset thing. It's being able to be comfortable super far away from home. If a guy's going somewhere that, you know, an East Coast kid going to USC, are they going to be okay not being in California? I know that all four of the guys at USC is coming in this year are California dudes, but the transfers, I think that's a big thing. And just in general, there's just, you just want as many possible opportunities to hit on some of these guys as you can. And some won't pan out and some will transfer and have good careers elsewhere. Some will transfer and not. Some will be at USC 4 years, have great careers, but you just want to be able to have as many options as possible. And I think USC does a really good job of just bringing as many talented dudes in the door as they can. And this year, I think it's a good example of that with all four of these dudes coming in, I think are really talented players who could potentially help this year and potentially help down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. And just kind of building off your point about the bringing in the right fits from out of state, like that is one thing where USC, they haven't really done it right. I mean, they like, if you look at their guys from out of state, Elijah Weber transferred, Kyle Sturdivant transferred, Harrison Henderson, Victor Uyelumo were both out of state. They both transferred. Jordan Usher transferred. Chuck O'Bannon was from Vegas, but yeah, he's transferred, right? So they've had like a little, it's been like not the best. Kevin Porter Jr. was one and done, right? And you look at their California guys, right? Like Evan Mobley, Big O, Isaiah Mobley, D'Anthony Melton, right? Jonah Matthews, right? Kind of the out-of-state guy they did keep 4 years was Nick Rakosevich, right? And he was kind of a lower-ranked guy. But he did end up staying 4 years and having a net positive impact on the program. So you have to be careful, I think, when recruiting out-of-state, especially when you have such a good local talent base in the LA area to pick from. I think it also goes to the discussion of how you want to build your college basketball roster. So if you're USC, I mean, unless you have a, you know, really good eval or reason to recruit like a kind of a not top 75-ish player, I would say, like, it's almost best just to not recruit them, right? Because if you just, if you churn out enough top 50 guys and, you know, or top 75, whatever, you know, whatever, however you want to, wherever you want to put the cutoff there, you can supplement a lot of your roster in the transfer market these days, right? So you're almost best off just trying to get like 2 to 3 top 50 guys a year and then just hitting the transfer market for the kind of holes on your roster, it seems like.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a guy who's going to be a fill-in position, like let's say just hypothetically, USC needs a shooter coming in this year. Not saying they do, just like as a hypothetical. You're better off looking in the transfer market because you're going to have a somebody who's actually done it at the college level to come in and fill that role for you immediately, as opposed to somebody who is, you know, playing in high school and playing AAU is a lot different than playing college basketball, a lot different. So you want to bring, if you're looking for somebody to come in and play a seventh man, sixth man role for you, I think that's where you got to look for sure these days, especially with transfer rules being the way they are now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was a beast of a podcast. We are going to wrap it up here. Zach, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate all your insight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I had a good time chatting with you, and I hope I provided some positive positive enforcement for the podcast.
Yes, yes. No, absolutely. It was definitely a pleasure. So everyone, we're going to wrap this up here, but again, appreciate all the listeners, all the people that leave reviews. We read all of them. Thanks so much, and bye, Don.
Bye, Don, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.